الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking forgiveness for our shortcomings and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq, and that we may be those who hear the ilm and listen to the knowledge and present the knowledge and benefit from both. In continuation with the explanation of this amazing compilation of a hadith from Umrat al-Ahkam, dealing with a hadith related to fiqh, we're now on hadith number 4. We're now on hadith number 4. وهو عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا توضأ أحدكم فليجعل في أنفه ماء ثم ليستنثر ومن استجمر فليوتر وإذا استيقظ أحدكم من نومه فليغسل يديه قبل أن يدخلهما في الإناء ثلاثا فإن أحدكم لا يدري أين بات جده. وفي لفظ مسلم فليستنشق بمن خيره من الماء، وفي اللفظ من توضأ فليستنشق. So in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if any one of you was to perform ablution, if any one of you performs ablution, he should put water in his nose and then blow it out. And whoever cleans his private parts with stones should do so with odd numbers, meaning the cleaning. And whoever wakes up from his sleep should wash his hands before putting them, yani his hands, in the water or in a vessel for ablution, because nobody knows where his hands were during his sleep. Nobody knows where his hands were during his sleep. And in another narration, which is in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, then let him put water in his nostrils. Let him put water in his nostrils. And in another version, another hadith narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let him rinse out his nose. Let him rinse out his nose. And in this amazing hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, describing the fiqh, showing the fiqh of this deen, that this deen, the fiqh that this deen comprises of, we will deal with the points as we have done previously. And the first, obviously, is the narrator of this hadith. The narrator of this hadith. The narrator of this hadith is Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And we've mentioned his tarjama and his biography previously, so there's no need to repeat. As for the text of this hadith, we can say, as Shaykh Muthaymin rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, "Mawdu' al-hadith," the title of this hadith is "Bayanu shay'in min anwa'i tahara." Bayanu shay'in min anwa'i tahara, and that is clarifying some aspects of purification. Clarifying some aspects of purification, and you see that these aspects are three aspects. Three aspects of purification. That's point number one, or point number two. Point number three is the word in the text, in the metan of this hadith, as we do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Idha tawadda'a ahadukum, if any of you does ablution." As Ibn Mulaqin, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, "Ay shara'a," or Shaykh Muthaymin says, "Shara'a fil wudu." Shaykh Muthaymin says, "Shara'a fil wudu," ay he starts doing wudu. If any of you wants to start to do wudu. And Ibn Mulaqin, he said, "If any of you wants to do wudu." Either tawadda, ay, if any of you wants to do wudu, then let him put water in his nose and blow it out. Hey, if any of you want to do wudu. And this idh here, it shows that is dealing with the intention of wanting to do wudu, not just the fact that you have to do it any time, but rather if you do have the intention to do wudu, then you should do that which follows in the hadith. And then Shaykh Ibn Thaymin rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Idha tawadda ahadukum falyaj'al fi anfihi," then let him put water in his nose and blow it out. Then let him. This statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "then let him put water in his nose," this is lam, yani falyaj'al, this is lam, this is a lam of obligation, imperative, a lam of imperative, a of command. And this is a command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying that it should be done, that it should be done. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Thumma liyantathir," and he should put water in his nose and blow it out. And but literally, this lintashir here, it means that he should blow it out, and he should take it out. So, which is understood is that he's put water in. And this is mentioned in the other narration of Muslim, where Imam Muslim, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentions the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Then let him put water in his nostrils." Let him put water in his nostrils. So in the first hadith, the Prophet only mentioned that let him blow it out. But what is understood is that he put water in it. It's istinshaq. That he put water in it. It's istinshaq. But liyantathir, intithar is mentioned only in the hadith, which is taking the water out, but what is understood is that he's put water in, and this is clear from the hadith. And this is why some of the ulama have said that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said liyantathir, and for him to take water out, this includes him putting it in. It's the same process. It's the same process. And this again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said liyantathir, like he said liyaj'al, and when you have lam like this in front of the of a present form verb, this is considered a command. This is considered a command from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A, do it. A, do it. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Woman istijmara falyutir." Istijmar. Istijmar, may Allah preserve us all, is cleaning or wiping the private parts with stone. Wiping the private parts with stone, in order for the remnants of feces or the remnants of urine has been taken out and or been removed. And that's from this fi'l of istijmar. Istijmar. So istijmar comes from hijara, or jimar, sorry. Istijmar comes from jimar, but hiya al-as hasa'a. And this is like stones, little pebbles, used in order to remove the remnants of urine and the remnants of feces. Istijmar. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, falyutir, yani this istijmar, this removing of the remnants of urine and the remnants of feces, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Falyutir," let it be done in odd numbers. Let it be done in odd numbers. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, "Falyaghsil," yani istayqadha, if he wakes up. If he wakes up, "Falyaghsil," let him wash his hands. Let him wash his hands from his sleep. Let him wash his hands from his sleep. And the Prophet also, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, he said, "Al-ina, al-ina." He said, "Do not enter your hands in a vessel. Do not enter your hands in a vessel, ay al-ina." And this ina is al-wi'a. Wa murad huna ina al-ma' alladhi yatawaddaha bihi. And this vessel that is intended in this hadith is the vessel in that which people will use to do wudu. That vessel which is being used to do wudu, or a container. That vessel or a container which is used to do wudu. This is the meaning of al-ina. This is the meaning of al-ina. Akulu ina in fihi sa'ilu min al-ma. And Shaykh Muthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, or the meaning of ina here, the vessel here, is any type of vessel where there's water in it. Any type of vessel where there's water in it. So it's number one, a vessel where one wants, that has been used, or a container that has been used to do wudu. And secondly, it's a container which has water indefinitely, and in general, which has water in general, or anything else. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, فَإِنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ لَا يَدْرِي, for none of you knows where his hands has been. And this is the reason why one should wash their hands when they wake up from sleep before actually entering or putting their hands in a vessel. So these are the different texts or different wordings in the hadith of the Prophet, in this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, the general meaning of this hadith, point number four, the general meaning of this hadith. The general meaning of this hadith, hafidhukum Allah, as Shaykh Muthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, he says, من كمال شريعة الإسلامية وإنايتها بالطهارة أنها استوعبت جميع أنواع الطهارة المكملة لها. Ibn Uthaymeen رحمه الله تعالى, he said that from the perfection of the legislation of Islam, from the perfection of the legislation of Islam and its care with, as it relates to purification, and the concentration and the importance placed in purification, is that it deals with every single aspect of purification. This deen of al-Islam, this perfect religion of al-Islam, this perfect religion of al-Islam deals with every aspect of purification. And those foundational aspects and those aspects that complete purification. And this is taken from this hadith. وفي هذا الحديث يرشد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى ثلاثة أنواع في كمال الطهارة والاحتياط لها. And in this narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has guided us and given us guidance and knowledge of three types or three things that will perfect, three things that will perfect purification, and three things that need to be taken into consideration as a precautionary thing, three different aspects that need to be taken into consideration as it relates to purification. The first of them is to complete the washing of the face. Is to complete the washing of the face, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, that we should do ghusul of our face, that we should wash our face. And this hadith, it shows the perfection, the completion of washing of the face. And that is by taking water in the nose and blowing it out. And this shows the perfection of that purification aspect of washing the face, which is mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah. And this is the completion and the perfection of it. The second, the second is istijmar. And that is using pebbles in order to make sure in order to make it perfect, that the remnants of urine and the remnants of feces has been removed. And this method of using al-istijmar is is precautionary, to make sure that the remnants of these impure things have been removed. This is the second thing. And as it relates to this aspect of istijmar, and that's using the pebbles in order to remove the remnants of urine and feces, the ulama have many issues that they're differed in as it relates to this. The first issue that is mentioned here is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in the hadith, he said, "Nam, وَمَنْ اِسْتَجْمَرَ فَلْيُوتِرْ." And whoever does istijmar, then let him do it in odd, or let him clean in odd numbers. And the ulama have differed as it relates to what is the minimum that needs to be done. The minimum times that it needs to be done. Minimum times that the pebbles should be used in order to clean the remnants of the feces and the bowl and the urine. Imam Shafi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that the minimum is 3 times. Imam Shafi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says the minimum that it should be done is 3 times. And if it's needed a 4th time, then it must be done a 5th time in order for it to be odd. So Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that the minimum times that needs that the istijmar and the using of pebbles as a form of cleaning the remnants of bowl of urine and feces, that the minimum is 3 times. Now, this is the minimum amount of times that it should be done. And this is agreed by Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah ta'ala. Another ulama said the key thing is to be clean. The key thing is for it to be clean. But that which is mentioned in the hadith and other narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that it should be done 3 times. The minimum times it should be done is 3 times, which is why the opinion of Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, is the correct opinion. The second issue that is mentioned in this hadith, or this aspect of istijmar, the second issue which is mentioned in the aspect of istijmar, using pebbles, is whether it should be done in odd times, or any odd number of times, or not, whether that is obligatory. Whether it's obligatory to be done in odd number of times or not. And the ulama differed as it relates to this again. But the correct opinion is that it's obligatory to do it in the odd amounts. And that is clear from the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَلْيُوتِرْ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Falyutir," so do it in odd times, meaning number of times. So in this, it's a command from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that one must do it in odd number of times. So, for example, as we mentioned, if in order for it to be cleaned, it's done 3 times, and after 3 times it's clean, then it's okay because 3 is an odd number. But if in order for it to be cleaned, after 3 times it's not clean, and in order for it to be cleaned, it needs to be done 4 times, then the individual has to do it the 4th time, but also he has to do it the 5th time in order to comply with the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said that it should be done in odd, and that's number 5. So it's 3, 5, 7, 9, and so forth, depending on how much is required in order for the remnants of feces and the remnants of urine has been removed. If it's done after 3 times, then that's okay. But if it requires more, it must be done 5 times. And if it requires more than that, it must be done 7 times, and so forth. And that is the correct opinion, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "وَمَنْ اِسْتَجْمَرْ فَلْيُوتِرْ وَمَنْ اِسْتَجْمَرْ فَلْيُوتِرْ." And whoever uses the pebbles and so forth to remove the remnants of feces and bowl and urine, then let him do it in odd numbers. So it has to be done either 3 times, 5 times, 7 times, or 9 times, and so forth, depending on that which is required in order for the cleanliness to be achieved. achieved. And then the Prophet sallallahu, and then the third aspect which is mentioned in this hadith. So the first one is the inclusion of the nose in the face. You need to complete the washing of the face by putting water in your nose and blowing it out. The second is al-istijmar, and that is the using of pebbles. The third is fi ghasl yad ba'd al-qiyam min an-nawm qabla idkhaliha fi ina' al-ma'. The third is washing of the hand after waking up from sleep. Washing of the hand after waking up from sleep before you enter it in a vessel or in a container of water or anything that flows or anything that flows. So these three things are the perfections of purification. The third one we mentioned, which is obviously washing the hands before, after, when you wake up from sleep, before you enter it, or you put it in a vessel. The ulama regarding this have had difference of opinions. The first issue that is related to this issue here is it obligatory to wash the hands when one wakes up? Is it obligatory to wash the hands when one wakes up before entering it into a vessel? Some of the ulama, they say that it's not obligatory, that rather it is highly recommended. It is highly recommended to do it, and it's disliked to put your hand in a vessel before you wash your hands. So it's highly recommended to wash your hands, and it's disliked to put your hand in a vessel before you wash your hands. And this is an opinion of some of the ulama of fiqh. So they say that this obligation and prohibition from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is something that is not as severe as that which is haram and that which is obligatory. The second opinion, this is the opinion of Imam Ahmed and other than him, rahimahullah ta'ala, and that is it is obligatory. It is obligatory to wash the hands. It's obligatory to wash the hands when one wakes up before putting it in a vessel. So it is haram to put your hand in a vessel when you wake up from sleep. When you wake up from sleep. The second issue that is mentioned as it relates to this point is the meaning of sleep in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Naam." He said, "وَإِذَا اسْتَيْقَظَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنْ نَوْمِهِ." If anyone wakes up from his sleep. Now the issue here is, what does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mean by sleep? Is it sleep at night? Or is it sleep during the day? Yani if he wakes up at night, is it that which is intended here? Or if he wakes up during the day? As for him waking up at night, we've mentioned that the correct opinion that it's obligatory for him to wash his hands. What about if he wakes up during the day? He has a nap. He has a qailula. He has a siesta. And then he wakes up. Is it obligatory for the individual to wash his hands before he enters it into a vessel? Again, the ulama have difference of opinion. Some say that it is obligatory, and some say that it's obligatory for the daytime and obligatory for the nighttime, and some say no, it's obligatory for the nighttime but not the daytime. And this is what Abbasam rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned, and the likes of Ibn Mulaqin rahimahullah ta'ala. And the correct opinion, may Allah preserve you all from this, is that the nighttime is that which is intended. Why? Because that which is generally known is sleep is done at night. That which is generally known is that sleep is done the night. That which is predominantly known is that sleep is conducted at night, not in the daytime. And as it relates to affairs of fiqh and issues such as this, we deal with that which is aghlab. We deal with that aghlabiyya, we deal with that which is more likely. And the rulings are based upon that which is more likely. Not again, not the rulings are not based upon that with those things which are not so likely. For example, we know that sleeping is generally at night. So therefore, from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here, that which is intended is the night. So the ulama have said then, from this, it is obligatory for one to wash their hands when they wake up from sleep at night, before entering it into a vessel or a container. But in the daytime, it is preferred. It is mustahab. It is preferred for him to wash his hand. But it's not obligatory. But it's not obligatory. The third issue, as it relates to waking up and having to wash your hands before you enter it into a vessel, which is the third sweat that is perfected in Tahara and in Islam, in purification of Islam. The third aspect is Naam, Salamukum Allah. The third aspect is that with regards to this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, he said, "Wala yadri ahadukum ayna batat yadah." Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that none of you knows where his hands has been. The ulama differed as it relates to this again into two different opinions. And the issue is, if the individual knows for sure that his hands has not been anywhere. Because in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you should wash your hands because none of you know where your hand has been. The issue now is, if the individual knows where his hands has been, and he's sure 100% that his hands hasn't been anywhere, is it obligatory for him to wash it now? Is it obligatory for him to wash it now? Again, the individual wakes up and he knows for sure that there is no way that his hand has been anywhere. Is it obligatory for him to wash his hand before entering it into a vessel? Some of the ulama said it's obligatory for him to do it, like Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, said that it's obligatory for the individual to wash his hands, even if he knows, because of the hadith, the command. But the other ulama, the second opinion, they say that it is not obligatory for him to wash his hands if he knows his hands hasn't been anywhere. He knows, he's certain. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Naam, fa inna ahadakum la yadri ayna batat yadah." So wash your hands because none of you will know where your hand has been. So the reason why the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the hands should be washed is because you don't know where your hands have been. And if the person or the individual, he knows where his hands has been, then the reason for washing hands has been eliminated. The reason for washing hands has been eliminated. So the ulama say, or the second opinion, that you don't have to wash your hands if you know that your hands has not been anywhere. And this, Allahu A'lam, is the correct opinion, because obviously the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, and the ta'leel, and the reason that he mentioned that one should wash their hands, is because he doesn't know where his hands has been. And if he knows where his hands has been, then obviously the reason for washing hands has been removed. The reason for washing hands has been removed. Now, as for the benefits of this hadith, the first benefit is the request of from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to put water in one's nose and to blow it out. It's a command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to put water in one's nose and blow it out in wudu. And that in this, shows that the nose is part of the face, in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Waghsul wujuhakum," where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And wash your face." And here in this verse, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wash your face," it is understood that what is intended here is the nose from this hadith. Which brings us to the second benefit. The second benefit is that the sunnah explains the Quran. Is that the sunnah explains the Quran, in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions wash your face in general, and in the sunnah the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned putting water in your nose and blowing it out. So it shows that the Sunnah has clarified more details as it relates to the face. And this is a refutation against those who negate the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who say that we don't need the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we suffice with the Quran, like the Quraniyun, the Quranists. This is a refutation against them. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with extra detail as it relates to washing the face, and that is that one needs to put water in their nose and blow the water out. And this is part of the face. And this is part of the face. The third benefit that's taken from this hadith, the first benefit that's taken from this hadith, is to use pebbles in cleaning one or removing the remnants of urine and feces after using the toilet. The command from the Prophet ﷺ of using pebbles in order to remove the remnants of urine and feces after using the toilet. And on this point, Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala in his Majmu' Fatawa, he says that tissues can be used. That tissues can be used. Why? Because the wisdom of using pebbles is to make sure it's clean. It's to make sure that it's clean and that the feces and the urine has been removed. And if this is established by using tissue, then it's fine. And it's established by using tissue, then it's fine. But we cannot use things like bones. And we cannot use feces and all that, which is mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So tissues are permissible to use as it relates to doing istijmar and so forth. The fourth benefit that's taken from this hadith is the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for the individual who washes or who wakes up from sleep, that they should wash their hands three times. That should they wash their hands three times before they enter it into a vessel. Before they enter it into a vessel or container that has water or anything that is flows. The fifth benefit that's taken from this hadith is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that none of you knows where his hands has been. And in the point of benefit, we mentioned earlier on that the ulama, they differed as it relates to whether it's the sleep at night or whether it's the sleep in the day. And the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, وَلَا يَدْرِي أَحَدُكُمْ أَيْنَ بَتَتْ يَدَهُ, that none of you knows where his hands has been. In this hadith, in the Arabic language, the Prophet ﷺ says ba'tat. And ba'tat is done at night. Ba'tat is done at night. None of you know where your hands has been at night. So this shows that the obligation of washing hands is actually for washing hands from a sleep that has been at night before you enter it into a vessel. Now, that's an additional benefit that's taken from this hadith. So the Prophet ﷺ has commanded the individual that wakes up that he should wash his hands three times. And the reason and the wisdom behind this is that he doesn't know where his hands has been at night. The sixth benefit that's taken from this hadith, is the good teaching method of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The good teaching method of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. حسن تعليم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حيث ربط الحكم ببيان حكمته. And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he connected the ruling and also the wisdom behind the ruling. ليزداد المكلف إيمانا, to increase our iman. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used a good teaching method in that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave the ruling and the hukum, and then he gave the wisdom behind the ruling in order to increase our iman. And also to clarify and to show that this deen is perfect. That this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. Which brings us to the seventh and final benefit that Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala mentions. He said that this, from this hadith, it shows the kamal al-shari'at al-islamiyya bil-inayah bi-tahara. And it shows the perfection or the completion of this religion in its concentration and care as it relates to all aspects of At-Tahara, as it relates to all aspects of Tahara, and as it relates also to being cautious and have taken precaution as it relates to purification, as it relates to purification. Naam. And that's the end of the hadith of the Prophet sallam and Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu. And the Nabi sallam qala idha tawadda ahadukum falyaj'al fi anfihi ma ثم لينتثر ومن استجمر فيوتر وإذا استيقظ أحدكم من نومه فليغسل يديه قبل أن يدخلهما في الإناء ثلاثة فإن أحدكم لا يدري أين بتت يداه. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that if any of you performs or wants to perform wudu, ablution, he should put water in his nose and then blow it out, and whoever cleans his private parts with stones, yani with pebbles, should do so with odd numbers, and whoever wakes up from his sleep should wash his hands before putting them in a vessel or a container with water or anything of his likes for ablution, because nobody knows where his hands were during his sleep. That's the end of this hadith, the fourth hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
There is a main question, barakallahu fik. Yeah, the question is that if the person touches private parts, does it break his wudu?
If somebody touches the private parts, does it break their wudu?
Naam.
This is an issue that the ulama have differed regarding how many opinions now? And the ulama differed. Some of the ulama have said that that if he touches his private, no matter what, it breaks his wudu. Yeah, they said that if he touches private parts, it breaks his wudu no matter how he touches it. The second opinion says that if he touches his private parts, it doesn't break his wudu at all, because of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, innama hiya bid'atun mink. When the Prophet said regarding the private parts, it's just a part of your body, and you're not impure. Meaning the Muslim is not impure, and it's just a part of your body. So some of the ulama say that from this hadith, that it doesn't break your wudu if you touch your private parts. And the likes of Sheikh Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says it doesn't break your wudu if you touch your private parts, except if it's done with desires, with shahwa. And Allahu A'lam, which is the correct opinion, but that which Sheikh Muthaymin, rahimahullah ta'ala, and of the ulama have mentioned, that if you're in this state, it's better to go and do wudu anyway. If you're an individual who has touched your private parts, it's better to do wudu, and I lean towards the second opinion that it doesn't break your wudu. But it's because of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, innama hiya bid'atun mink. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it's a part of your body, and your private parts are part of a body. This hadith I hold is very qawi, and is in Talq ibn Habib, from the hadith of Talq ibn Habib. It's a strong hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I lean towards this. But as for precautionary reasons, that if an individual is in a state where he touches his private parts, it's better and safer for them to go and do wudu in order to remove himself from the khilaf.
Khilaf, there's another question, jazakumullah khair, that if a person makes the wudu in a bathroom, on the toilet, can he say the tashahud loudly after the wudu, when he finished the wudu?
You mean like... because you know, in the times of the Prophet, the toilets were separate places from the way places of wudu.
You know,
the toilets were placed, so it's better to do it outside of the toilet.
Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi mizani hasanatikum.
Allah yabarak feek.
Hayyakum Allah.
Allah yahyik akhi. Allah yajzak khair. Shukran. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ali sahbihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.